How to break up your relationship with alcohol. Hello, gals, and welcome to Sober Living Snippets. Spoiler alert, that's the last time I'll be saying that. Don't panic. Come back tomorrow. It's a big surprise. Where we do our best to live alcohol-free so we can heal up our relationships, feel youthful again, and ditch regret and shame. I'm Beckett Jacobson, and it is snippet time. It's Monday. I have a snippet for you based on Mel Robbins' best-selling book, Let Them. We're going to finish up this book today. We've been doing a mini book study, a light look at this book over the last several Mondays and how it relates to our alcohol-free journey, our alcohol-free efforts, our alcohol-free desires. So today, I'm going to just be honest with you, gals. And those of you who've been around a while know that I do these snippets from the heart. I do them from the heart, not from a script, and they're not pre-planned. Other than obviously, I know I'm going to do them and I have a general idea. I knew I was going to talk about Mel's book today, right? Okay. But here's what happened. Going to be honest. Here's what happened. I'm looking at the last few chapters of the book, which we were going to talk about. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on a second. How can I best support my gals who are struggling with alcohol? And here's what I found in the book that I want to share with you. We're going to hone right in on one little section of the book instead of trying to look at the last two sections, which are fairly lengthy and mostly about relationships. Instead, gals, in chapter 20, the last chapter called How Every Ending is a Beautiful Beginning, Mel gives us how to break up a relationship, how to survive a breakup, a healthy breakup, right? When you're having a breakup. Well, guess what, gals? Giving up alcohol is the end of a relationship. It is a breakup. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through the steps that Mel gives us for breaking up a relationship with a human, and I'm going to tell you how to apply those to your relationship with alcohol. This is the best way. This is where my heart went when I was looking at this book today and deciding how best to finish off our study of this amazing little book. So on page, well, I'm in the Kindle, so I won't bother with page numbers, but in chapter 20, you'll find a list of things Mel advises us to do when ending a relationship. And here's how those apply to alcohol. Number one, Mel says, remove all environmental triggers. Well, hello, that couldn't be simpler for us, could it? So simple. Mel says this, take every visible reminder, trinkets, shirts, pictures, and get them out of sight. The patterns of this person are so hardwired in your body and mind that simply seeing things that remind you of them keeps you from moving forward. You don't need to burn things. You can just put them in a box and come back to them when you have time, space, and distance from all this emotion. Okay, gals, ready? I mean, honestly, do I even have to tell you how to apply that to your alcohol? Well, I do, because it's obviously different. You don't have a t-shirt from your alcohol and you don't have any trinkets. But you do have visible reminders. In your early sobriety, you're going to want to remove your favorite wine glass. In fact, let me back up and be sure that you're clear that when you're giving up alcohol, it all goes. You're not keeping any in a cupboard somewhere in your kitchen. It's not just getting put in a cupboard where you're not seeing it. It's removed. Now, don't try and lie to yourself and say, well, what if I have guests over? I need to give them a drink. In early sobriety, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't need to. If you don't want to throw it out, give it away to somebody. But here's what I always say about throwing it out. The money you spent on that alcohol is gone anyway. What's the difference if it went down your stomach or down the drain? I'll tell you what the difference is. The drain didn't get hurt by it. I've even had women say, well, I'll just drink what's here and then I'll quit. Well, okay, that's just an excuse and a lie. That's alcohol speaking. That is not going to work. Once you've decided you're done, the alcohol's gotta go. You gotta get it out of your house. And not just the alcohol, but the same as Mel advising on environmental triggers, We're going to remove environmental triggers from our homes. I've spoke about this before, and let me tell you something. When I quit drinking, I had to do this, and it was really hard because I drank everywhere in my house. And so I literally had to change the setup of my living room. This is something I spoke about in an episode long time ago, probably 300 episodes ago. So I came home from a residential treatment center where I did 8 weeks of sobriety to start my sobriety. Long story short, P.S., spoiler alert, it didn't work. I drank when I got home. But one of the things I had to do shortly after, because I realized I was just triggered like crazy in my house. You know, it's not that hard to quit drinking when you're in some place where you've never drank and everybody's sober and nobody's drinking, but then come home and see what happens. So I walked in the house and there was my favorite drinking chair, the chair I sat and had my drink after work every day. There was my favorite glass. I mean, this is where I had done my drinking. And so it was so difficult for me to stop that I ended up changing around all the furniture in the living room. I had to go through the house and remove so many triggers. You know, we don't have to throw stuff out, just the alcohol. But I did rearrange things so that essentially, you know, I mean, the alternative was sell the house, which I wasn't willing to do. And so I redecorated. I changed everything. I made it look like a different place. So I didn't feel triggered when I walked in. Listen, gals, my point here is whatever you got to do, you got to do, okay? Maybe it's not that bad for you, but I agree with Mel and relationships and that we should remove all environmental triggers. So anything in your home that reminds you of your drinking, for some of us, this is outside in the back patio, change it up, do whatever you have to do so that your home does not look like the same place you drank in. Number two, I love this one. Mel says, give your bedroom a small makeover. Okay. Well, considering the fact that Mel's obviously talking about breaking up a relationship and refreshing the bedroom so that you can sleep there without having, I don't know, without being sexually triggered. I don't know what she means. It's a very short little paragraph here where she says, just give a refresher to your bedroom. I'm just going to let that one flow right into number one. Same idea, right? If a room in your house triggers you, change it. Number three, Mel says, reach out to friends, siblings, cousins, and coworkers. She says, there is an empty space that this person left that needs to be filled. You need support, so ask for it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Everyone has gone through a breakup and understands how horrible it can be. Well, gals, I couldn't agree with her more, but there are some nuances to this when we're breaking up with alcohol. For many of us, one of the biggest nuances is that our friends and often our family don't even know that we've had this struggle. Now, if they do, then obviously go ahead and ask for support. But many, many, many of the women that I talk to don't have friends or family members who are fully aware of their struggle. And so we can't very well ask for support from friends, siblings, cousins, and coworkers, can we? No. But let me tell you, you need support. More than anything else, you need support. If you've tried to quit drinking over and over and over again all by yourself and you failed, I'm here to tell you the reason you're failing is because you need the proper support. And of course, yes, that's where I come in. All you have to do today, if you want support, I have an amazing opportunity for you. Today is Monday, the 16th of June. Well, this Friday, the 20th of June, I am doing day one of a three-day intensive called the Unstuck Intensive. The Unstuck Intensive for women just like you. You're the woman everyone counts on. You lead, you build, you hold it all together, you help everybody. But lately, something's been unraveling under the surface. Or maybe not lately. You're smart. You're successful. Why can't you stop drinking? Good question, right? So you need support. And so for these 3 days, gals, we're going to get together live on Zoom. We're also going to be together in a Telegram group. And I'm going to walk you through, not through beginner's challenged stuff. We're going to talk about identity. We're going to talk about the next level of your life. We're going to talk about disconnection from ourselves. That's identity. This is going to be intense. I've never taught anything quite like this. This is different from my other events. We're going to look at clarity, energy, and how to embody the power that you need to keep leading your life without alcohol. So all you got to do to get the support you need is go to the show notes, tap the link, and let me know you're coming. I'll send you the link to get in. Or just go to recoveringwithbecca.com/unstuck. That's recoveringwithbecca.com/unstuck. Okay, that's number three from Mel. Reach out for support. Number four, I like this one. Mel says, fill your calendar. Look up events in your area and buy tickets so you're committed to go to see an exhibit or go see a friend. Reach out, make plans, do stuff. She says the distraction really helps. I couldn't agree with this more. When you're breaking up with alcohol, the last thing you want to do is sit around after work at home staring at the wall wondering where your wine is. Get busy. And once you join me, don't worry, I'll keep you busy. It's really important that we are not sitting there and not knowing what to do with ourselves. And one of the most important things we can do to keep ourselves busy in early sobriety, early in those days without our drink, is work on ourselves in a structured, gentle, but intentional way. So filling the calendar, Mel, great idea. That's number four. Number five, Mel says, pick a challenge you've always wanted to do. Pick a challenge you've always wanted to do. I love this. I'm not sure we'd be completely ready for it in the first couple of weeks, but it is definitely something to think about if you've been sober for a while. I know some of you, especially those of you who've been in my world for a while, especially my clients, after a while, you really do need something else to do. Here's Mel's suggestions. She says, whether it's a mountain you've always wanted to climb, a triathlon you never had time to train for, a class you've always wanted to take, or even learning the guitar, this is the perfect time. I think she's right. Challenge yourself, learn something new, step up. In many cases for us, this will be taking our careers to the next level, taking our business to the next level, really showing up for ourselves in ways we haven't been able to because of the wine, the drink, the alcohol, the booze, baby. That's number five. Number six, Mel says, keep asking yourself this question. Ooh, let's see what she says here. If you knew the love of your life was around the corner and this breakup was bringing you one step closer to meeting them, how would you spend your nights and weekends while you are single? How can we relate this to alcohol? Let me keep reading and I will tell you. One of the biggest fears when people go through a breakup is they will be alone forever and never find someone as good as the person that just walked out the door. Gals, this is true of alcohol. I am so not kidding you. When we rely on alcohol to settle the nervous system, to unwind, to cope, to calm the chatter in our minds, we really find it hard to believe that there's going to be some replacement for that to allow us to just settle and replace the effect of alcohol. What is it? Well, I'm telling you, it's there. For me, there's nothing like a walk in nature with my dogs. I used to drink. Now I walk in nature with my dogs. But I don't expect you to get off work and come home and go for a walk in nature with your dog. I mean, you might, right? But I want you to know that over time, you do find ways to replace it and you don't even remember that you ever cared about alcohol. It fades away. You don't think, oh, well, I'd love to have a drink, but I guess I better go for a walk because I can't drink anymore. I'm so hard done by. What the hell? None of that. I'm telling you that it doesn't take very long where you really don't care anymore about alcohol. Here's what Mel says. Time doesn't heal all wounds, but what you do with your time does. Isn't that cute? I like that. Time doesn't heal all wounds. What you do with your time does. I think that's a quotable quote from Mel, isn't it? What you do with your time will heal your relationship with alcohol. That's why you want proper support. You want to be moving forward properly. You don't want to just wing it. You don't just say, you know what? Screw it. I'm done. And throw down the bottle, which is what all of us do. It's definitely what I did. I didn't plan nothing. I just thought, okay, I'm done. Or the times that I did plan it out, it was always this big, elaborate, I'm going to suddenly become the queen of the gym and meditate an hour every day and make up some ridiculous routine that I could never keep up. I mean, I meant well, but we have to move into this gently. We can't jump into it like that. So I like that. I really do. Time doesn't heal all wounds. What you do with your time does. So that is one of the reasons I walk women through early sobriety, because I know how to help you use your time to heal. I really do. And that, gals, are the six ways Mel gives us how to heal a broken relationship. And I agree with her on all of them, and we can use all of them to break up with alcohol. So my only question to you is, what are you waiting for? Go to the show notes, sign up, start your sobriety with me on Friday, this Friday, June 20th. Join me for the Unstuck Intensive, and we'll get you started. We're meeting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're not fooling around. This is not a challenge. It's not a pitch fest, and it's not your day one sobriety talk. This is for someone who knows this is bigger than alcohol, who senses your next chapter calling and wants to answer sober, strong, and sovereign. So if you're nodding, go to the show notes, tap the link, come and join me, or just go to recoveringwithbecca.com/unstuck, and I will see you there. And gals, that wraps up our study of Mel Robbins' Let Them book from an alcohol-free perspective. I will see you tomorrow for, guess what? For sobriety snippets. Slightly different, but still more of the stuff you love coming directly from me. Bye for now. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back tomorrow so we can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.